But in that case, the poskim say, when your kavana is to eat a bowl of soup, lav davka, not noodle soup, not lakshin soup, you want to eat chicken soup with lakshin, so there you actually need to make two separate brachas. The lakshin doesn't become tufel to the soup, and you will not be yotze with just the shahakol, but on the other hand, the soup isn't tufel either to the lakshin, and in that case, you make two separate brachas, a bracha on the lakshin and a bracha on the soup. Now, I mean, a mezonos on the lakshin, shahakol on the soup. But the question is exactly how to go about it. Typically, when you make two brachos, if you're making a mezonos on a cracker and a shahakol on a cup of milk or something, we know that you're supposed to make the bracha on the mezonos first, because there's an order of priority in brachos, and mezonos comes before a shahakol. Here, however, it's not so simple to do that. In fact, the Magen Avraham says not to do that. The Magen Avraham says because there is a concern, there is a shaila. Maybe if you make the bracha the mezonos, it will indeed cover the soup. Even though we're saying that lechatchila you should make two brachas, but once you made the mezonos, it does create somewhat of a suffix that maybe the soup is already covered and you can't make a separate shahakal on the soup. So therefore, one eitza is to make a shahakal on something else, make a mezonos on the lakshin, and make a shahakal on something else, and then enjoy your soup. If you don't have something else, all you have is this bowl of soup, chicken soup, with lakshin in it, so the Magen Avraham paskins you, in this case, the Mishnah Berurah brings this down, you actually make the bracha shahakal first, take a spoonful of soup without lakshin and make a shahakal, and then make the bracha of the mezonos. Because you know, even though you'll say, well, can't shahakol cover a mezonos as well? But if you made a shahakol on a piece of lakshin kugel or anything else on a matzah ball, you'd be yotzei b'di'evet. But here, there's no question that since this soup with lakshin definitely needs a mezonos on the lakshin, so the shahakol would not cover the lakshin, and you can make the mezonos. The question the other way around, if you make the mezonos, it could be you don't need a shahakol. Could be maybe the soup is tufel to the mezonos, like we said, like is normally the case, that other things are tufel. So that's why to make a mezonos, and then first, and a shahakol on the soup, is questionable. But if you, as I said, if you don't have something else for the shahakol, so the Magen Avraham says, make the bracha shahakol first on the soup, and then make the mezonos on the lakshin. Ramesh in a tshuva is cholik and holds that even here you should do it the regular order, mezonos and shahakol. But many bring down like this Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah that to make the bracha first, if you don't have a separate shahakol, again, just to repeat, if you do, so make a mezonos on the soup, on the lakshin in the soup, and then a shahakol on the separate thing. If you don't have a separate shahakol, then the psak of the Magen Avraham is to make a bracha shahakol on the soup first, a spoonful of soup, and then make a mezonos on the lakshin. Now, if you're eating it primarily for the lakshin, or very essentially for the lakshin, I really want to fill up. I don't just want a bowl of soup. I want to fill up with some carbs. I enjoy the matzo balls very much, and they're mamish and ikar in my eating. They're not just complementing the soup. They're not just enhancing the soup, but they are my main kavana. And the soup, okay, the soup comes along for the ride. Then taki, you only have to make a mezonos. Then just make a mezonos on the whole thing. You cover the soup in that case with the bracha on the mezonos alone. If that's what you describe, it's basically instead of eating a plate of pasta, you're eating it just in a way that it's more, it goes down smoother and it's hot. And if that, in a chanami, that's what it sounds like. I'm not so familiar with it. I know what traditional soups are, but I haven't been a long time since I've seen one, so I can't. But the way you're describing it, yes, then it would just be a mezonos on the on that soup. Okay, now let's move on to, let's say you're eating soup with vegetables. So if you're eating a chicken soup, and it just has some carrots and maybe a little celery, but it's etzim chicken soup, then it's just shahakal and the whole thing. You don't have to make a separate bracha on the vegetables. But let's say you're eating a vegetable soup. So then there are a few distinctions. If you're eating the vegetable soup because you really want the vegetables, that's, again, you're filling up primarily on the vegetables, and that's the solid food here, and you definitely want them, and they were cooked, it's a soup, they were cooked together with the water, with the liquid, the broth, so you only have to make a bari pri adama. The bracha bari pri adama will cover the soup. Now, again, here there is a slight suffek that maybe you should be making a separate bracha on the liquid. So in a case like this, this is an example where when you make the bracha, bari pri adama, that's the next step. If you really want the vegetables, then just break bari pri adama. The question is, let's say you don't. Let's say you're really not interested in the vegetables at all. You really just want the bowl of soup. There are vegetables here. They're not just a little piece or two, but it's not like you took out the vegetables and you just a little bit of carrot got left behind. Then you wouldn't have to make a bracha on the vegetable at all. You would just make the shakal. That's like the case of the chicken soup, which just has a little bit of vegetables. So again, it's a vegetable soup, but you're not interested in the vegetables at all. In fact, you try to take them out. Even if a drop gets left behind, you just make a shahakal. But let's say, no, you leave the vegetables there. You're eating a bowl of vegetable soup, but you're really not interested in the vegetables. You're eating them because maybe you have to, or because they're there. It's not polite to take them out. But what you want is soup. You want a nice hot, it's hard to imagine that here in Miami, but you come from some cold place, you're in a cold climate, and you really want a nice hot bowl of soup, and it happens to be vegetable soup, but you're interested in the soup, then you just make a shahakal, and that would cover everything. But here's the case where the poskim say, or some say, that, well, maybe it's not so simple that the vegetables are covered by the shahakal. Again, if you didn't have in mind specifically the vegetables, you just made a shahakal on the soup, and you didn't specifically have kavana for the vegetables, so although we're saying that's all you need to do, but there is a tzad in halacha that perhaps the vegetables need their own bracha. So in this case, what you should do is be mechavein beferish. When you make the shahakal, be mechavein beferish that you're covering the broth and the vegetables. Now, although, if you have something which you don't know the bracha of, you're not sure of the bracha, you can't just make a shahakal and have in mind to cover this other thing, which the bracha is not shahakal or might not be shahakal, but I don't know what the bracha is, so I'll just make a shahakal and have it in mind. You're not allowed to do that. You have to be mevarer to the extent that you can. You have to look up the halacha, learn the halacha, ask a shaila, whatever it is, or find something else to make a bracha on. You can't just make a shahakal on a sfu that you're mesupik about and cover it. However, in a case where the ikr psak is to make shahakal, for example, that is the psak. On this bowl of soup where I'm not interested in the vegetables, they're just coming along for the ride, but it's not my ikr kavan at all. Where the ikr psak is just to make a shahakal, elamai, there's a small suffek that maybe you should be making a hadama on the vegetables, so then you do that. Then when you make the shahakal, you have in mind mefurish to pater the vegetables. Just give you one other example of that. Let's say without being too complicated, but when a person makes kiddush Friday night, you make kiddush on a cup of wine, and you drink. You very well may be drinking a revius of the wine, and then you go ahead and wash. You don't make nobody makes a bracha chrona on the wine, and you just go and wash. So what happened to the bracha chrona of the wine? Well, the answer is that we consider the wine of the suda to be a part of the suda, even though I didn't drink it during the meal. If I drink wine during the meal, then of course I don't make a separate bracha chrona. I just bench at the end, and it covers everything in the meal. But here I drank the wine before the meal. So does the benching really cover the wine that I drank before the meal? So la halacha, we say it does by kiddush. Since kiddush is attached to the meal, kiddush makom suda, kiddush is attached to the meal. So we say yes, the benching at the end will cover the wine. But says the Mishnah Berurah, again, it's not 100% pashut. There are cholkim. There are those that hold that the bracha, the birchas hamazon, does not automatically pater, doesn't cover and exempt the wine which came before the meal, even if it was kiddush wine. So one of the eights, as the Mishnah Berurah says, when you bench, have in mind with Farish that this benching, this bracha I'm making, it happens to be a birchas hamazon, it's a long bracha, I'm benching not just on the meal, but I'm benching on the wine, mefurish, meaning not just that the wine is dragged along as a chelik of the meal. Even if it's not, I am benching on the wine, because the din is b'di'evit. If you drank a cup of wine, just wine, and you bench b'chaz ha-mazon, you yotze, b'di'evit. If you eat a carrot, you eat a plate of carrots, and you say b'chaz ha-mazon, you're not yotze, even b'di'evit. You still have to say b'ri nefashos. You can't bench on carrots if they weren't part of the meal. But you could bench on wine, b'di'evit, because wine sustains a person more than carrots. Wine is considered a form of mazonos. So if you drank a cup of wine, and you would say birkas hamazon, you'd be yotze b'di'eved. So in this case of kiddush, we're b'ikr, we paskin that the birkas hamazon automatically goes on the wine that came before the meal. But There is a tzad that it doesn't. So says the Mishnah Berurah, have in mind beferish. When you bench, I'm benching on the meal and I'm benching on the wine. So, as I said, it's another example where I'm making a bracha. Once I'm making a bracha to cover something where we know it's not the right bracha. Birchas Hamazon is not the right bracha on wine. But since most posts can hold, I don't need a bracha on the wine because the benching covers the wine as part of the meal. So there, once I'm benching, I can have in mind that I'm benching on the wine as well. And with that, so getting back here, this person is eating the vegetable soup and is not interested in the vegetables. It's full of vegetables, but he's really not interested. He really just wants the soup. So we're saying make a shahakal, but when you make the shahakal, have in mind that it goes beferish. I'm making a shahakal on the soup, and I'm making a shahakal on the carrots, on the vegetables. So even if they don't come along beferish with the soup automatically, but at least I made at least a shahakal on the vegetables, and I'll be yotzei at least b'diavad. Okay, now. Okay. Now there is a situation where you have a vegetable soup where the bracha is going to be ha'adama, but that's talking about where we'll see some specific cases. But in the general, just like a carrot soup or potato soup, something like that, it would only be ha'adama if the vegetables gave a very strong tam into the liquid, into the broth. So that even if you didn't eat the vegetables, just the broth itself would be ha'adama. But there it has to be that it's the broth becomes really affected in a very strong way. The average soup, we don't consider that way. The average vegetable soup, potato soup, or carrot soup, or mixed vegetables, we don't look at it that way. We look at it that the broth itself remains shahakal, so that if you separate the vegetables, so again, just to review, if you're eating the vegetables because you're interested in the vegetables, then you don't have to make a shahakal at all. You just make a dum and eat the whole bowl of soup. If you separate the vegetables entirely, or practically, and there's no vegetables left, or maybe just some slight pieces that escaped you that left, then you just make a shahakal. If you're eating them together, but you really just want the soup, not the vegetables, then you also just make a shahakal, but have in mind beferish to cover the vegetables. Okay, now there are, let's talk about some other specific cases. Split pea soup. Split pea soup is where the peas get blended up, and for the most part, and there it's a creation of the peas and the water that it's cooked in. The bracha on split pea soup is shahakal, and even if there are some individual peas that got left behind, the bracha still is shahakal on split pea soup. Tomato soup as well. Tomato soup, the bracha is shahakal on tomato soup. Now, let's say you have tomato soup with rice. So rice, the bracha is mezonos, but it's not from the five types of a grain of dagon that take over, so to speak. So we deal with it like any other type of food. You have a mixture, you have tomato soup, and you have rice. So is it shahakal, or is it mezonos, or is it both? So it depends. Here, what the post can say is, if it goes primarily by your ikker kavan. If you really want a bowl of tomato soup, and this tomato soup happens to come along with rice, then you make a bracha shahakal, and it covers the rice, even if there's more rice. The amount of rice is more than the soup, but you're not interested in the rice. I'm interested in tomato soup, and I'm just sort of eating the rice because it comes along. I make a shahakal. If it's the other way around, I would really just like a bowl of rice. But okay, they're serving tomato soup with rice, so I'll take a portion. So I get my rice, and the tomato soup comes along. Then I make a mezonos. If your kavana is for both, I enjoy tomato soup with rice. That's exactly what I want. So then it depends on which is the majority. If there's more rice than soup, then you make a mezonos on the whole thing. If it's more soup than rice, you make a shahakal. Because in general, when you have a mixture of two things, and we're not dealing with chameshes mine dog, and we're not dealing with wheat or one of those other grains, then if it's not clear it's not clear inherently which is the ikker, then we go after the rove. So here, by the tomato soup, where I'm interested in both. I have equal interest in this, or interest or disinterest in both. I'm eating them. Neither one is ikker by me. They're both on the same level. Then you go after the rove. When it comes to onion soup, so onion soup is made typically by sautéing onions and then mixing them with water, etc., and making a soup out of it. There, the bracha on onion soup is bari pri adama. On onions, once you sauté onions, sauté, fry, you make them tasty in that way, their bracha is bari pri adama. And memela, the bracha on the soup as well, the bracha on onion soup is bari pri adama. If it's onion soup that's just made though from onion soup powder, it's not made from real onions, then the bracha is shahakal. Mushroom barley soup. So mushroom barley soup, barley typically, the way we eat barley, the bracha is mezonos. And memela, pearl barley, and the way we eat it typically, the bracha is mezonos. And memela, that becomes a case of Kol Sheyeshbo, that since it has in it, barley is one of the Chamesh Bnei Dagon, and therefore that takes over, and you make on mushroom barley soup, you make a bracha, Bari Mei Mizonos. Of course, if it would be just mushroom soup without barley, then it would clearly be Shahakol. There's no Shaila because mushrooms themselves are Shahakol. So mushroom soup is clearly Shahakol without the barley, but once it's mushroom barley soup, then you make a Mizonos. Now, here I want to just take a minute to discuss what about the bracha Achrona? What bracha achrona do you make on mushroom barley soup? So you say, well, if I made a mizonos on the barley, so I should make al hamichya, right? Al hamichya me'in shalosh is the bracha achrona for mizonos other than rice. That's true. However, you have to make sure you ate the proper shear of barley to make a bracha achrona. Meaning, first of all, it has to be a kezayis of barley. And not only a kezayis, but you have to eat a kezayis bichdei achilas pras, which means if you just take the soup and you eat it leisurely, let's say it's very hot, or you just eat it leisurely, you're in the middle of learning, and you're just eating a bowl of soup to give you a little energy for your learning, or whatever you're doing, and you eat it, and you drag it out so that you did not eat a kezayis bichdei achilas pras, and we'll define in a minute, then you can't make a bracha achrona on the barley. What's kedei achilas pras? There are a lot of different shittas in the poskim. When it comes to Hilchos Brachos, we look at it as between around 4 to 4.5 minutes, roughly the range of 4 to 4.5 minutes. That's the shear number of poskim say. It comes from the Marcheshes and from other great achronim. So that you'd have to eat, for any time you eat mizonos, which requires a me'in shalosh, you eat a cookies or cake, you have to eat a kezayis b'chdei achilas pras. If you drag it out longer than that, then you would not make alamichi. What bracha would you make? Well, if all you ate was the cake, let's say you ate one kezayis of cake, and it took you more than that shear to eat it, it took you 10 minutes to finish the piece of cake, you wouldn't make any bracha achrona. If you ate, let's say you ate a cereal which has in it mizonos, and now we're not going to get into all the different brachas of cereals now, there are charts that tell you the bracha here, but let's say you have a certain cereal where one of the wheat is, for example, one of the primary ingredients, and therefore it's not just there for filler or whatever, it's there to be an ingredient for the taste and to fill you, then you make a Bari Mei Mizonos on the cereal. However, do you make what bracha achrona do? So, and I ate a kezayis of the cereal within 4 minutes, but did I eat a kezayis of dagon, a kezayis of the grain, or is it a kezayis of the combination of the wheat with the sugar and the whatever else is listed on the ingredient panel there, and there are typically numerous ingredients. So if I only ate a total of one kezayis of cereal, then I very likely did not eat a kezayis of grain, b'chdei achilas pras, or even if I ate more than a kezayis, but if I can't be certain that I ate a kezayis of grain, b'chdei achilas pras, although I ate a kezayis of cereals, b'chdei achilas pras, then it's not so simple that you make an al hamichya. When I say it's not so simple, it's not so simple the other way either. So let me give you an extreme case. Let's say you ate a piece of cake, which is only, the whole piece of cake in front of you is only 3/4 of a kezayis. But on top of it, there's a cherry or cream, things that are on top of it. They're not mixed into the cake. They're on top of the cake. And I ate definitely a kezayis. I ate a kezayis, and I ate it within 4 minutes. Then the bracha achrona would be bari nefashos, because any time you eat some of one bracha achrona and some of another bracha achrona, but you don't have enough of either one, you have half a kezayis, let's say half a kezayis of cake and half a kezayis of cheese, then you make the lower bracha achrona, the more general one, which is bari nefashos. So you had a total kezayis, half cake, half cheese, within 4 minutes, so I make a bari nefashos. So, but the piece of cake as well, the piece of cake, it's 90% of a kezayis, but and then there's 10 or 20%, that makes more than 100, whatever it is, there's cream or cherries on top of the cake. So that I ate a kezayis of food within a shear of 4 minutes, but it wasn't cake, so then again, I make a bari nefashos. But let's say it's the piece of cake itself, which has other ingredients. It's the cake itself. Now it's one cohesive unit. There's no cream on it. There's no cherry on it. But within the piece of cake, there's some dagon, there's some grain, and there's some sugar, and there's some cocoa, and there's some whatever other chemicals that you can't pronounce. And that makes up the kezayis, but it's not a kezayis of dagon. That's a very big shaila. The lashon of the Mishnah Berurah is that there's a minhag to make a bracha achrona, to make an alamichya on alamichya, that is, on that, because it's cake. It's mainly mizonos, and it's all one unit. It's not cherry on top of the cake or cream on top of the cake. It's a cohesive piece of cake. So the minhag is to make an alamichya on that. However, it's a big shaila, and it's better, much better, not to make a bracha achrona alamichya unless you had a kezayis of cake or a kezayis of grain within the cake. Rav Moshe writes in an interesting lashon in a tshuva about this minhag. He says, this minhag, it's a very difficult minhag, a very shvera minhag. It's very hard to make a bracha achrona based on that minhag. But to go ahead and eat a kezayis like that and not make an alamichya, how could you do that? You're going against the minhag. The minhag is to make a bracha achrona, to make an alamichya. So basically it comes out, you should try to avoid that. Now, and the same thing with the cereals. You should try not to eat a kezayis of cereal, just one kezayis of cereal, or a total amount of cereal where you know you had a kezayis of food, but you don't know if you had a kezayis of grain. You should try not to do that, because then it's a big suffix. Should you be making alamicha? Should you be making bari nefashas? So I know it's not always so easy to know. If you're not, and maybe you're a professional cook, you know how much flour is in the, you know, in any specific recipe, or approximately how much flour, or in the cereal. It's not always so easy to know. So you should try to cover your bases and try to make sure that you're eating enough that you clearly have a kezayis of grain, if at all possible. So getting back to the mushroom barley soup and things like that, that's something else to keep in mind. Okay, let me talk about one more Indian Hilchos Brachos, and then we'll spend a few minutes on the Sfira Shailas, it's Hashem. When you're eating something like schnitzel, which is chicken, the white meat of chicken covered with some mezonos covering, type of breadcrumbs, mezonos type of coating, or fried fish, or any other onion rings, things like this, which have the inside is one bracha, let's say typically a shakal, by the case of the chicken and the fish, the inside is shakal, and the outside is a mezonos covering. So what's the bracha? So we said before, well, if mezonos takes over. So Post can say that here it's not so simple, because what you're basically eating is, you're eating fried fish. Fried fish, they fry it in breadcrumbs, or whatever it may be exactly, to give it extra taste. I'm talking about breadcrumbs, I'm not talking about cornflake crumbs, which is not mezonos, I'm talking about mezonos crumbs. So you're essentially eating fried fish, you're essentially eating schnitzel, chicken. LMI, it has this coating for flavor. So the post can say, assuming if it's just a thin layer, it's just a thin coating, not a thick coating that you can really grab off, a thin coating of mezonos, you would just make a shahako. And you would ignore the mezonos altogether. It seems to be going against the rules, but this is what many poskim say. If it's a thin coating, you just make a shakal. If it's a thick coating, however, it's a nice thick coating, and unfortunately in some of the products, you buy fried fish and you're wondering, it's hard to recognize the fish inside. You're eating a lot of batter and you can barely, the fish inside is unfortunately not the proportion that you would want it to be. So then, but there is fish inside. It is labeled as fry, is whatever, fish sticks or whatever it may be. So then you really need to make two brachas. If possible, if you can, make two brachas on two other foods. If you can, make a mezonos on something and a shakal on something if you can. If you can't, then you could actually just pry it apart. Pry off a piece of the batter, the back thick coating batter, which has its own mitzius, its own life to it, and make a mezonos on that, and then make a shahakal on the fish inside or the chicken inside. Like I said, it's better to make brachas on other separate things, but if you can't, you make a bracha on a mezonos, pull off the coating, make a mezonos, and eat something inside and make a shahakal. And then again, when it comes to bracha achrona, you have to be careful to eat a kezayis of, you have to make sure you ate a kezayis of mezonos, b'chdei achilas pras, or you will not make a alamichya, you will only make a bari nefashos. If you don't eat a kezayis of the batter alone, or some other mezonos alone, b'chdei achilas pras, you will end up only making a bari nefashos and not an alamichya. Okay, I'm not sure there are a lot of questions that come up, but I hope this covered at least some of the main shailas or some of the common shailas in brachas. When it comes to the question of Sfira, Minhagi Sfira, now we're not talking about now first minute, second minute, we're talking about, let's say, starting for, in Chodesh Iyar, at least to Lag Ba'Omer when it's Sfira, everyone keeps the Minhagim, or for that matter, for each person on his own, for his own Minhag. So we know one of the things that are restricted is Rikudim Umecholos, which means dancing and singing and playing instruments, etc., etc. So there are so many different shailas that people ask, can I do music for this, music for that, etc., etc. First of all, it's good to understand, though, that even though there may be some specific cases where we could make an exception, or where the poskim would make an exception, where it's not really what they asked you. But if you do that too much, we cut away, and we're missing the core of the halacha. It's important to understand that the core of the halacha is that these are yamim of a certain degree of avelis. We miss Abel of the fact that there was a tremendous loss of Torah in the time of the great Tana Rabbi Akiva, where 24,000 of his Talmidim died during this period of time. And it says the Hoya Ha'olam Shamim, the world was in a state of absolute shock and stunned by this tremendous loss of Torah. Ad Shabar Akiva, Eitzler of Sinisha Bedarim, he reinstated it with the five great Tanaim that he established as new Talmidim. But we Mishtatef in that Avelis, and in understanding what's behind the Avelis. I'm sure you've heard Shmuzin from your Rashi Yeshiva and your Beyim. If you didn't, you probably will, about the idea Shlo Noku Kavod Zebezeh, etc., what that meant exactly, how that made them, that they weren't the proper receptacles of Torah, they weren't proper vehicles to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. Of course, on a Dakas Madrega, but for people of that stature, it was enough to have such consequences. So we want to be mishtatev in that avelis. So we're told to be mishtatev. It's brought in Shulchan, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, and the poskim, to be mishtatev in that avelis. So memela, we avoid music and dancing, and we should try not to look for too many heterim. So when it comes, I was in a certain store, let's say, recently, and I heard, it was during Sfira, and I heard music seemed to me like nice labor music over the thing. So I went over to the manager and I said, isn't that not appropriate during Sfira? It was okay, again, during the time that you called only the first minute, some people don't keep it, but I said, isn't that not appropriate? So he said, oh, listen carefully, you won't hear any instruments. And he says, it's all a cappella, whatever it is. I'll tell you the truth, he had me, it didn't even occur to me, that it was anything different than regular music. And I think that's what, I know some posts can use the lashon of that a cappella, it's at best novel b'shus ha-Torah, meaning maybe it's mutter, possibly, but it's novel b'shus ha-Torah. Novel means a person who's grabbing onto a heter and getting away with something, basically getting away with it that you squeezed it under the line without being doing an isser. Some say it's not even that, it's not b'shus ha-Torah, it's shalom b'shus ha-Torah, definitely not recommended. To certainly not to play, but or whatever it is, or to do it, or even to listen to anything like a cappella music. Now, again, when talking music, I understand occasionally you'll have a person who's, because of his personal needs, just use those two words, has a specific need for music. Such a person should speak to his Rav, to his Rebbe, his Rashi, whatever it is, and find out if for him music is something that he shouldn't restrict himself from music, or if he should, maybe he should do this type of music, not that type of music. But we're talking to the Hamonam, regular people who don't have a specific personal need for, you know, health need for music, so then they a cappella should be avoided. So one question that many people ask, music for exercise. So it depends. Like if it's an exercise class or exercise program, which is based on the music, it goes with the music, it doesn't work without the music, so okay, then the music is tougher to the exercise and you're allowed to maintain it. But if it's just that you want it to keep you going, so then drop it. Look, if it's important enough for you, it's important enough to do the exercise, so do the exercise and figure it out, and listen to a shiur or listen to something else, whatever it is that'll keep you going. And if not, so maybe if you can't go without the music, then maybe maybe that shows that it's not that important, and it's not so simple that the music should be the carbon so that you could do your exercise. If you're invited to a simcha, so if you're invited to a chasana during the time that you keep in Hagi Sfira, but the chasana kala don't, so let's say today or tomorrow or after Lag BaOmer, so then you're allowed to go. But you're allowed to go to such a chasana. You're allowed to dance. Once the chasana kala allowed to get married because they kept the other minug, then they're allowed to have music and you're allowed to be mishtatev and dance, etc. Even a bar mitzvah, I heard this psak from a number of gadoli poskim. Even if it's a bar mitzvah, to have music at a bar mitzvah during Sfira itself, meaning, you know, like I said, during the time that everybody keeps them in Hagim, is questionable. We avoid. But if it's a time where some do, some don't, then it's okay to have a bar mitzvah with music. And even if you're keeping them in Hagim for, and then you keep, let's call it the second minig, and they make you a bar mitzvah in the second minig, you could still go and be mishtatev. That's a bar mitzvah, that's a chasna, lav davka to other events where people decide to have music where it's not so justified, or they're only having music because for them it's past sphere, so they're having music. But for you it's not past sphere, and it's not the type of simcha that allows music, so then you should not go. If you're not sure, so you ask a, you can ask a specific shayla about it. Okay, so that's hopefully covers some of the basics, and Hashem will hope to be able to do this at another occasion.
If anybody has any other shaylos, they could ask for a few minutes. Mental is going to be in 5 minutes right here.